The following is from the Main Street Radio Show on Prairie Public.
This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton in studio in Fargo with Ashley Thornburg, and in our studio in Bismarck, we've got Ruth Seller Sue talking about Main Street Eats. We do this every week.
Thank you, Sue, for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I just love to be on this show.
And you want to talk about something that today that was very common not too many generations ago, and now something that very few people do themselves.
Right. Historically, Thanksgiving was kind of like a day to start thinking about butchering. And the reason was because, as you know, the weather in October is warm, then it's cold, and it's warm, and it's cold. But once Thanksgiving hits, we can almost be assured that the temperatures will not rise above freezing for very long on any day until spring. So all the farm families that I knew growing up, and also historically, you know, you want to go back to the homesteading days, Thanksgiving was more of a butchering holiday than a eating holiday.
Oh, so are
I did not know that.
You butchering because of the cold weather? Obviously, the meat will stay better. And there are different ways to keep meat. You can age it or you can freeze it. You can, you know, what are you suggesting?
If you're talking about the time before electricity, then they had to wait for the weather after Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh.
So these kids would, one of the things they did was they would sit the night before and they would cut up the garlic or peel the garlic and stick it in water so that you would have garlic water to season sausage. After you are done butchering, you take everything but the oink in a pig and you make sausage, blood sausage or head cheese. You know, nothing ever went to waste. And so the women that I interviewed for Women Behind the Plow and Evigersatz, they always talked about how this was people would get together for butchering, and it always happened around Thanksgiving. Kids were pulled from school sometimes to help with butchering.
Wow.
You've told us your mother was a butcher.
You know, isn't that weird? I hardly remembered that, but it was back in the day when I was in high school, and my mother worked as a butcher for Gackle Pack. And so here's this, you know, 5'5" woman who could pick up a half of a cow and slam it on the counter and cut that sucker up. And, you know, we always ate the best of the best meat because she was a connoisseur about that. But if you go back a few years to like when she was on the farm, they raised cattle, but they never butchered cows on her farm. They only butchered the pigs. And one of the gals that I talked to, her name was Frida Ketterling, and she actually lives on a property that was my great grandfather's at one time in Wishick. And she said that, you know, they would have to stay home from school, like I said earlier, on butchering day. And they put the meat in a barrel according to how they were either cooking it or how it would store better. So, like, the big pieces, like the hams, were way at the bottom. And then the pieces got smaller all the way up to the top. And then they made a salt water that an egg could float in or a potato, a small potato. If it floated, then there was enough salt in the water. They'd pour this over the meat. Then they would put this barrel, or maybe they had it, in like the coldest, shadiest spot in the yard. And that's where that meat was kept all winter long because they didn't have freezers.
Wow.
So in the spring, you know, they would chisel that meat out all winter long. And then in the spring, you'd get down there to the hams. They would dig those out, and a lot of them would smoke them in the spring. And then you'd have ham for Easter. So once again, there was a rhyme and a reason to the seasonal eating that they did, and also to the holiday foods, you know, like ham in the springtime and, you know, turkeys in the fall when this butchering was going on.
Is that egg float test something you could even do today, like with the modern technology where we have much better ability to preserve food? Would you need to add that much salt anymore? I just want to do this.
I know you're kind of curious about how these things work. I would imagine that if you were going to keep your meat out in behind your garage, that you would have to have that much salt in it,
oh,
too.
My raccoon friends would love that.
Yes, but you could put something over your barrel, right? You'd have a big barrel out there. But I think that a lot of people rinse that salt off as much as you could. But, yeah, the salt helped preserve it. The cold helped preserve it. I just can't even imagine. Like, in my mind, I can't hardly fathom how much salt would it take for an egg to float.
Well, let's talk about grading meat, particularly beef. What are you looking for? We go to the grocery store. You can't buy prime. You can maybe get it at a restaurant. You get choice or something like that.
I'm kind of a meat snob, you know, because my mom was a butcher. And so we actually buy our beef straight off the farm. Like we just – and this is the time of year when you can do that. Like we call our friend up and we're like, save a half a cow for us. We can name it. We can visit it. It's our cow. Until it gets to the butcher shop, and then they kind of like transport it for us because none of us have vehicles big enough for cows, you know. And then we go pick it up, and it's usually grass-fed. I don't honestly know what I would do, except I would get to know a butcher.
Mm-hmm.
If I was buying just a little bit of meat at a time, I would get to know your butcher and have them make recommendations based on how you're going to cook a piece of meat. I do know, though, that my mom would never eat a hot dog, ever. So that's my advice to you today.
That's sort of like politics, you know, making sausage.
Right, making sausage, which, like I was saying earlier about Frieda Ketterling, they made something called blood sausage. And so in order to do that, Frieda's job was to you know, they stabbed and bled the pig, and then in order for that to work making sausage, then she would have to be the one that would have to stir that so it wouldn't clot.
Oh.
This is what Frieda said when I talked to her. She said, I was always the one who, when they stabbed the pig, I had to stir the blood. She said you had to stir it until it was cool or else it would clot. Blood sausage, yeah, I hated it. And you can still buy it today. I think they have it at Super Value Store. I know they sell it in Eureka. And she was talking about, of course, Eureka, South Dakota, and Stan Super Value down in Wishick, which, of course, is always the first place I go when I go to Wishick to make sure that nobody buys all that fry sausage before I go home that day.
I think it's part of a full English breakfast, too.
Absolutely. So all of these kids, everybody helped. Like, she was probably stirring this blood when she was a tiny little girl, but everybody had to help. I mean, think about what a huge job it would be to butcher one whole pig or two pigs sometimes. And if you were butchering a cow, which I know my family, my mom said they never ate their beef. They sold those for money, but they raised pigs for themselves to store over the winter. And I don't know, I would imagine that for some reason it was easier to keep that pork than it was an entire cow. You know, because you can smoke a lot of the cuts from a pork. Whereas from a cow, you don't usually do all that smoking. But they'd make a party of it. You know, they'd have the neighbors come. Or, you know, and a lot of times that's true. Like I shared my beef with my sister-in-law and my in-laws on my son's side of the family. We almost had a whole cow between the three of us. Oh, wait a minute. That was kind of odd. Sorry. Well, anyway, you knew what I meant, right?
We certainly did. We check in with Sue Belcom every week here with Main Street Eats. Thanks for being with us, Sue.
Oh, thank you. It was a blast.
Main Street airs at 3 and 7 Central weekdays on Prairie Public.